Our call to worship today, the title of the sermon, by the way, is To Hear and Obey. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this church service. Lord, I pray that you will help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for these things, Lord. Help us to honor you in all that we do today. Amen. We're back in Romans. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be looking at the last three verses. Four verses, actually. Romans chapter 10. To hear and obey. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voices have gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. When I first looked at that, I got to be honest with you. I'm like, what on earth is Paul talking about in the last chapter, at the end of chapter 10? Well, the more I dug, the more I dug. Have you ever done that? You're looking for something and you find something really cool, a nugget. And so you dig deeper and you find more nuggets. And all of a sudden you got the main gold strike. Well, that's what I did this week. It's just an incredible text. I hope you listen today. There's a parable that Jesus tells us about two sons that kind of lines up with this text. And so I'll be reading that to you shortly. Both sons are told to do the same thing. Go and work in the vineyard. Do you remember this parable? Go and work in the vineyard. One of them says, yes, I will go, but he never does. The other one says, no, I'm not going to go, but he ends up going. Jesus is talking to the spiritual here. I hope you know that. And if you consider yourself spiritual today, pay close attention. Jesus is talking to the spiritual of that day. And you might know the truth, and yet you have rejected me, Jesus is saying. And then he says, but the prostitutes and tax collectors will get to heaven before you do. Let me read it. Matthew 21, 28 through 32. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. The man came to the second son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. And Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get to the kingdom of God before you do. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards, so that to believe him. So I'm wondering today, as we move through this text, how many of you know the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you've chosen your own path? Maybe the path is bitterness, or maybe it's the deceitfulness of wealth, or greed, or pride. You know, Jesus is really hard on the Pharisees here, the religious leaders, the righteous. Really hard on them, simply because they've lost their first love and they've gone their own way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this text. And as you speak to our minds and our hearts today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help each and every one of us to get back into God's Word. Amen. Been quite a while since we've been in Romans, probably 6 weeks or so. It's a long time. So what I want to do to begin with is kind of go quickly through Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation." Paul's talking about the Jewish people, and his number one goal is for their salvation. He wants them to come to an understanding of who Jesus really is. And then he goes on with in verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And stop there. The Israelites didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, they took every precaution possible so that the disciples wouldn't steal Jesus' body. But what happened? Jesus rose from the dead. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And it's with the mouth that that he confesses, resulting in salvation. Confess that Jesus is Lord of your life. And then verse 13, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. And in verse 17, the verse right before what we're going to talk about today, verse 17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by what?" What's it say? By the word of Christ. Today's text is simply about hearing and obeying. Hearing and doing. We need to hear it, and then we need to do it. Romans 10:18. "But I say, surely they have never heard." Have they? Do you hear the sarcasm of Paul? Surely they have never heard, have they? You see, they have heard, but they haven't been living for the Lord. They've gone their own direction. And then he says, "Indeed, they have." And listen, he quotes a scripture verse, which we're going to talk about in a moment. He quotes a scripture verse. "Their voice has gone into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." He's quoting Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. What do you think the words "their voice" means? Or who is that? Or what is that? Their voice. Listen to the text. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech and there are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In him he has placed a tent for the sun. Paul, again, is speaking to the Jewish nation, and all through their life, all the way through their childhood, they're taught something very special, that God is the creator, and he needs to be worshipped. Remember verse 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Through the word of Christ, the Jewish nations knows who created the world. They know who created the world. And in Romans 1, 18 through 20, this is one of my favorite texts, by the way. It says, for the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes and eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. How do we know who God is? Through what's been made. Through what's been made. Sometimes I kind of wonder if I should pick on people or not. And Maggie is always a culprit to that. TNT, I think you're the only TNTer here. Oh, no, yeah, we got two TNTers. You guys can collaborate here and kind of, you know, what was it? What's the answer that Bruce is asking for? TNT lesson last week, Bible lesson. Who created the world? God? Looking for something a little bit more specifically. God is the correct answer, except that there's three parts to the Trinity, and the part of the God I'm looking for is Jesus. What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God created the universe. Jesus spoke. He spoke creation into being. Paul continues in the rest of chapter 10, but I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah was very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not seek me for, seek, ask for me, I'm sorry. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. The Jewish people refused to listen to God. They refused and they went their own way. Even though all of creation points to him. He's talking to us too, friends. All of creation points to Jesus. Let's look at 19. I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's opening up salvation to those who don't belong to the Israelite family. He's opening it up to the Gentiles. That's all of us. He's making the people of Israel jealous. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. Verse 21 is my fear for the 21st century Christians. This is my fear. If God can get angry at the people that he loves so dearly, his chosen people, if he can get angry with them because they're not listening to him, what do you think he's going to do to us if we don't listen to him? The same thing? Maybe worse? I don't know. Listen to verse 21. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. God's word is important. I asked you a few weeks ago if you knew how many Bibles you had in your home. And then I asked myself the same question. I said, I have no clue. But I hope that one of those Bibles you're looking at daily, we need to get into God's word and understand and obey him. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is our direction, and God's word is the one who guides us. How many of you know what the pledge to the Bible says? How many of you know what that says? The pledge to the Bible? We say it every Wednesday night. Here's what it says. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path, and I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin. That I might not sin against God. Can I just say here that many of us don't use God's word at all? I think that's a true statement. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. We come to church on Sunday and we get a half hour sermon and we get our scripture fix for the week and we think that's enough. And then that's supposed to keep us encouraged and that's supposed to keep us from sin. God wants us to study his word every day. Every day. Now, I know that there's days when you can't. I mean, something comes up and you're about to sit down, study God's word. But we need more than a half an hour on Sunday morning. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be a servant of His? Do you want to be a servant of His? Then study His Word. Because it's through His Word that we become thoroughly equipped. It's not through preaching necessarily. That's part of it, because we bring in God's Word. And it's not through hard work. It's not through mission work or anything. It's through the study of God's word, we become thoroughly equipped for every good word. So the question for today might be, what's keeping you from opening God's word during the week? What's keeping you? Is it because your heart is cold and you've lived that way for so long? It's hard to get back into the habit. Is it that you don't know where to start? Well, if you haven't ever read God's word and you don't know where to start, let me help you. Listen very carefully. If you want to learn about Jesus, you study the texts that have to do with Jesus, right? Which is found where? The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I would start there and then keep reading. Learn about Jesus and study His Word. Fall in love with Him. But here's my fear today, that we don't read God's Word because we're too busy. And that might be you. And if it's you, I hope that something is tearing at your heart today. Saying, I need to open up God's Word. I hope that's true. In closing, I want to read for you a text. It's a little bit lengthy. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. It's talking about Elijah. And Elijah is brought into a cave by God, and he says, God says, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up. Starting with verse 9. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord, my God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. I think God is saying to himself, Oh, you poor guy. The Lord said, Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And then after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Are you listening for God? Did you know that if you read God's Word, simply to say, Pastor Bruce said, I need to read God's Word, you need to listen for the Holy Spirit. If we're so busy with our life, we're not going to take time to listen for the gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? Listen for the gentle whisper.
Speak. Good. Whisper. Whisper. Good.
That's a whisper.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. You can hear the speaking, right? You can hear that. But so many times, God speaks to us. In the gentle whisper. You gotta take time for Him. Amen. I hope that God is not saying of the folks of First Baptist Church of Winter, South Dakota, but I say, surely they have never heard, have they? But indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. God has spoken the truth, even through creation. Even through creation. John 16:33, These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Amen. Have a great week.